Have you ever considered the incredible power that lies within your own breath? In this episode of Meltdown to Mastery, we engage in a captivating conversation with Mary O'Dwyer, unraveling the transformative potential of something as fundamental as our breath. Prepare to explore how the art of conscious breathing can not only help you navigate stress and emotions, but can become the cornerstone of a profound journey towards self-mastery. Get ready for a deep dive into the world of transformational breathwork, the gateway from chaos to control. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you. One of my favorite subjects is breathwork. So what I'd like you to do is tell us a bit about your story and then how you changed your life with integrative breathwork and now are a transformational breath facilitator.
Yes. When I think about the journey I've been on, when I was a kid going to school, I wanted to be a vet until I discovered exactly where your hands went when you were birthing a calf. And that was the end of my veterinary career. And then as I was going to go into medicine and didn't make the university, didn't get the qualification, the high enough points to get into that. So I thought, well, I'll just go into science and maybe come back to med another time. And it's interesting looking back where all of that took me, because my desire as a young girl to, help others was always there. And in university, I went on and did food science, food chemistry. I got my doctorate in that, learned all about how to manipulate food and manufacture food, all the things that I've unlearned how to do. Because when I started my family, my oldest son was diagnosed with autism. And after a number of years with him getting some great intervention, I realized that I needed to do more at home. And so I started using all my science knowledge to really do the research. And that was 20 years ago. There wasn't as much information then as there is now. And that opened the door to alternative healing for me. As life went on with him, kind of around 2012, I hit a bit of a wall. My marriage wasn't in a great place. I wasn't in a great place. And when you're not in a great place and you don't have good tools, you kind of start to spiral and self-sabotage. And I can remember being at yoga one day and I saw this class that was being advertised. And all I can remember from the flyer is that it said peace and joy, and it was $25. And I'm like, that sounds like somewhere I need to be. And so I went and I had no idea what to expect. I'd never done any meditation or breath work, anything like that before. I'd done some yoga, but that was about it. And I went to this class and it completely blew me away. It was transformational breath. And I was that person that had a transformational first session. I felt feelings I hadn't allowed myself to feel. I connected with what I would describe as the love of God, the love of the angels. It was just this magical place of love. And I started to recognize in this session how much love I had pushed away and how unworthy I felt of love. And then to be bathed in this love was so beautiful. So I was like bawling, crying that I had pushed so much love away. And then I was like loving the feeling of so much love being available. And it just transformed it was a game changer for me, because I became the groupie. I showed up to all the things. I did the group sessions, the private sessions, the weekends, that suddenly I found myself in training. And it really has been a calling. And 2015 was when I became a certified facilitator. And I really haven't looked back, even though I kind of dipped my toe in the beginning. And by 2017, I told myself, Mary, it's time to come out of the breathing closet and let people know what you do. And it's just been a beautiful journey for me.
Wow. So what do you think happened in that first class? What was the switch? Was it through the breathing you allowed yourself to relax enough to actually feel this connection to love?
So it was all of that. It was definitely allowing those feelings to release. So, you know, because the breath work, transformational breath, is about breathing in a very specific way, in a connected way, so that we can actually access our unprocessed emotions. And so as I was processing those and letting those go, you start to feel lighter and lighter. And then there's a deep spiritual component to any breath work. But in transformational breath, we really are very intentional about creating that spirituality and that spiritual connection. And that's a big aspect of it. And so there is, towards the end of the session, a calling in of spirit, a calling in of one's higher self, a calling in of one's angels, what one has faith in, so that we really create the opportunity for that awareness and connection to be had. And so I had grown up in Catholic Ireland. So, you know, everyone just went to mass and was a Catholic and you believed in God. You didn't even question it, right? And then as I, around that, you know, 2010, 2012, I was questioning everything. Is there a God? I don't know. I went through phases of not knowing, of fully believing, of fully not believing. It was like I was all over the place. And this session really reconnected me, because with that deep love that I would say was the love of God and the love of the angels. That was how I connected with it. And so it was all of those things.
Yeah. So it was a pretty profound feeling that you felt. I mean, we talk about love, but it's really, you can never forget that feeling if you've experienced it.
It really was something else. And all I can say, it felt like I was floating in this sea of love. It's like, maybe, you know, that moment when you have a newborn baby, if you know, anybody who's listening, you know, that moment when your baby is born, you hold them and they're healthy and you're gazing at them. And it's just, your whole universe is just you and that baby. You're in the first throes of love. You know, we can be up all night. We can be awake for days, right? You know, in those throes of love, right? And it was just feeling completely bathe in that. They're the closest things I can describe so that people can maybe have a sense of what it was that I experienced. And every session is different and everybody's session is different, but that's what it was for me. I feel when we work with our breath, you know, our breath is, breathing is respiration, right? Re-spiritization. And Michael Brown, in his book, The Presence Process, talks about that, re-spiritization. So we are connecting with spirit. We are connecting with our spirit. And it is such a powerful and underrated and underused and undervalued tool that we have. There isn't any, very little education about the power that we can harness from our breath to create these beautiful connections.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, no education.
Yeah, well, and that's, we'll dial that one back and say there is, but we have to dig for it, because you and I are doing, you know, we're spreading the word, so it definitely is coming. And I'm just going to pull that back from the universe and say delete, rewind. but there's such a huge opportunity for everybody in their breath, and you know, people joke like, "Oh, I breathe just fine," right? But how about we do more than survive with our breath? You know, when we start to understand how powerful it can be, you know, one of our sayings in transformational breath is change your breath, change your life.
Yeah.
It's that powerful.
Right. And it seems so simple. It's something we do every day, but we don't pay any attention. It's completely automatic. So can you lead us through the important aspects of how to do proper breathing or transformational breathing?
Yeah. So there's so many different breath works out there, right? There's regulatory breath works, which are things like the box breath, you know, breathe in for four, hold for four, alternate nasal, nostril breathing, long inhale, long exhale, all those types of breaths. And they're all regulatory breaths because they can regulate our state of being in the moment. And they're super, super powerful. And then there's integrative breath work. And integrative breath works are all about making ourselves whole again, because we we have this expression, right? I lost a part of my soul, right? I lost a part. And we left our childhood behind. We left our innocence behind. We leave things behind, right? And so those parts of ourselves that we kind of lose along the journey on this beautiful planet here, this earth school. And so integrative breath work, of which there's a few, so holotropic breath work would be one, rebirthing would be another one, and transformational breath sort of was born from rebirthing. And it took a lot of the beautiful things that rebirthing has to offer and just expanded it, because Judith Kravitz, the founder of transformational breath, you know, she was practicing metaphysics and breath work back in the 70s before it was, you know, the in thing to do. And so she was getting these downloads to create what's now transformational breath. And I always like to tell people that there isn't a right or a wrong way of breathing, right? There's optimal breathing is the way I like to talk about it. And transformational breath is different to rebirthing and holotropic in so, well, in fact, any other breath work in a couple of ways. And one of the ways that's really key, and one of the things I love about it, and I think this comes from my science background, is at the end of the day, I'm a very pragmatic person. Like, it's wonderful to have a beautiful experience on the mat and to, you know, release and all of that and feel all those things. But it's, I'm interested about what happens when you go home. How do you show up home with your spouse, with your parents, with your children, with your friends, with your coworkers? And so one of the beautiful things about transformational breath that it addresses is your unique breathing pattern. Because Jane, you probably have noticed, and I'm sure your listeners who are listening, they may have noticed times where you hold your breath, right? You ever notice that you hold your breath at times?
Oh yeah, especially if stressed.
Yeah. Especially at stress. And so it's one of those things we learn as little kids that if we don't want to feel something, all we have to do is hold our breath. And when we hold our breath, a couple of things happens. So the first thing is we're physically squeezing some muscles. Like, everybody right now, just hold your breath, like squeeze. Like, and for me, it's all around my rib cage. Some people it's going to be more up in their shoulders and upper chest. Some people it's going to be really low in their belly, but you'll just feel like muscles tightening. And so physically what's happening is those muscles are just tightening, contracting. And this is such an effective tool for us to stop the flow of an emotion that we do it over and over and over and over. So we're tightening those muscles over and over and over and over. And we all know what happens to muscles that get tightened over and over, right? They get shorter, they get less flexible. And so now we don't have the same breath capacity because the respiratory muscles can't expand the way they once could. So our rib cage doesn't get as large as it could. So then that impacts our lung capacity. So most of us aren't actually using our full lung capacity just because of that physical restriction. The second thing that happens that I want to talk about is that the emotion that we were feeling as we held our breath, when we hold our breath, that emotion hits pause. And then we tend to store it in our body because we generally don't go back at the end of the day and process all those feelings that we held our breath through. We don't go back and revisit the stress. We don't go back and revisit the embarrassment, the shame, the guilt. We just move on, right? Or we think we move on, but we're carrying all of this stuff with us. And so all of these emotions get trapped in our body. And so if you're like me, who was holding a lot kind of around my rib cage, that's going to show up in my breathing pattern. And so there'd be actual restrictions to where the breath is flowing in the body and where it's not flowing in the body. And these restrictions are very representative of how you're showing up in life. So some people, maybe if you're holding your breath and maybe don't have a lot of breath flow to your belly. So, you know, and everyone who's listening, you know, if you're somewhere where you can put your hand on your belly and just notice how you breathe. Notice if you're taking, if your belly is expanding on your in-breath. And if it is, you're probably a very grounded person. If there's not a lot of flow of breath in your belly, that expansion in the belly, you may suffer from anxiety. You may have panic attacks. You may feel scattered a lot. It's just how that breathing pattern is manifesting in your life. And as you learn to change how you breathe, learn to use your diaphragm, learn to bring breath into that area of the body, you start to become more grounded. You start to become more focused. You start to become better with boundaries. And so we look at all the different breathing patterns for some of us. You know, I use the one of the belly. I don't want to spend our whole time describing that. If anybody's really interested in this, get my information after this podcast. And I do give people free breath pattern analysis so that you can learn a little bit about what's going on with yours. And simply by changing how you breathe, you can start to change those things in your life, which is absolutely phenomenal. And that's what one of the things that sets transformational breath apart from all of the others is that we will physically help you take a deeper, fuller breath so that you're getting more out of the benefits of doing any of the other type of breath work that you do, whether alternate nostril or box breathing or just yoga breathing or Wim Hof, whatever it is that you're doing. When you're using more of your respiratory capacity, you're just going to get more benefits.
Pretty awesome. So it almost moves you from a state where you're stuck in past emotion or subconscious patterns mm-hmm. into a state of more flow.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a beautiful way of phrasing it. I'm going to be writing that down when I listen to this. That was just so beautifully phrased. It really is, because in the session I always talk with my clients, it's not about volume right now. We don't care. In the beginning when I'm working with somebody, I'm not focused on how much air you're taking in. I'm focused on where is their flow and establishing flow everywhere in the body. And in transformational breath, it's a circular connected breath. So some of your listeners who are into breath work may have tried that, and maybe you have too, Jane. Those circular breaths where you're breathing in and out with no pauses. And when we're doing those types of breaths, we get into a beautiful flow, and that's how then we can access those emotions that have not been processed in the body and start to release them. And the beautiful thing about it is, in the session, when emotions are triggered and emotions come up or accessed, however you want to look at that, when we stay with our breath and having a facilitator there to encourage you to stay with your breath or maybe make some gentle sound if that's needed to move it, we can move through those emotions, even those big ones that we're so scared of. We can move through them usually in 2 or 3 minutes. Very rarely does it take longer than that to move through something. And these could be deep-seated, old stuff. And when we let it go, it's released from the body physically. It's released from the body energetically. It's released from the body emotionally. And you kind of have that feeling of that lightness of after a big, huge cry, when you just feel like a huge weight's been lifted off your shoulders. That's often the way people will feel after a session. And when we have that big release in a session, it's then so much easier to connect. Because if you're already floating around feeling all light and high vibe, when we call on that spiritual connection with your angels, with your higher self, with God, with whatever that is for you, whatever, benevolence, the universe, source, it's so much easier to connect with this. You're already halfway there. Mm-hmm. And then we call it in. And so, and again, that's where the flow shows up, right? We've flowed up the emotional, I'm kind of seeing it in my mind's eye, like the table, right? We come in and maybe we're feeling a little down and depressed, and we move through the session. We literally just flow up the scale all the way to the deepest peace and acceptance.
Yeah. Because a lot of these negative emotions also carry a slower vibration.
Yeah.
Right? And as you clear them, then the vibration increases and your ability to connect to something greater increases.
Exactly. And once you've let it go, once you've let that thing go, it's gone. Unless you choose to go pick it back up again, which most people don't. Yeah. And it's just so beautiful to witness yourself. And I think for me, that was why I really became a facilitator, was seeing how I was showing up differently. It wasn't just something fancy that these people at workshops were saying. I got to experience that for my life. I got to experience myself being calmer, because I was the type of parent who, I didn't lose my temper a lot, but oh boy, when I lost my temper, it was like, get out of my way. It was like, not pretty. That Irish temper would come out. And suddenly to witness myself feeling the anger come on, because I still get angry. I'm a human, I'm a person. People are going to get on my nerves and things are going to upset me. But being able to witness what I call now the early detection warnings, you know, the early alarms warnings, you know, feeling that heat in my body because I'm not as dense, I'm lighter than I was because I've processed, you know, over 10 years. It's much easier to connect with those signals that your body is giving you. And to be able to feel that anger and recognize before a word has come out of my mouth that I may want to take back, I will feel it and be able to say, you know what? I'm having a moment. I'm feeling really triggered right now. I'm going to go take some breaths and deal with this. And then we'll come back and discuss whatever is on the table so that I'm not having those discussions from a place of being triggered. Because when you're triggered, you're being driven by the emotional charge. Mm. And when I sit and deal with the trigger, and then I can come back and be in charge.
Yeah. And usually the trigger has something to do with nothing to do with the other person. It has something to do with your stuff from the past, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Because 80% of our subconscious beliefs are created before we're about eight, you know, different mm-hmm. for everybody, but about there. 80% by eight is kind of a good rule of thumb. And we don't have any discernment. And it's funny, if you look at, you know, for any of the listeners or yourself, Jane, you know, if you've got siblings or cousins or people that you grew up with, and it's like interesting. I have four siblings. I'm one of five. And I see beliefs that my operating system runs on that I'm like, yeah, my brother does not have any of that. He has no problems asking for help. He has no problems, you know, saying, I'll get there when I get there. Whereas the people pleaser in me wants to bend over backwards and drop every, you know. And so it's really interesting to see and go, oh yeah, those things that I'm triggered, they really have nothing to do with these other people. This is something in me. And when I sit with it and just give myself a few minutes, you can actually sometimes get that information if it's needed or helpful that will actually link you back to that trigger. And it'll just be like a light bulb moment. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like that time when my mom did that, or my dad or my friend said the other thing. And now this person is saying it and triggering, and we want to attack the other person. And they're really just the messenger.
Yeah.
They're bringing you this message to highlight this wound, this unprocessed trauma, so that you can address it.
Right. And normally what we do is suppress it, like mm-hmm. get angry, suppress it, blame the other person, and yeah, totally avoid the chance to heal it. And so what you're saying is move into it, feel it,
lean into it,
breathe mm-hmm. through it. Yeah. So any tips on how to do that?
So a great tip would be to breathe. Is great to go somewhere where you can quieten the mind noise, right? And just go somewhere, sit your butt down. That's a first, you know, stop, sit your butt down and just start to breathe in and out. If you can breathe in and out with no pauses, either through your nose or your mouth, and just let your mind get calm. And then ask your body, where do you feel this feeling in your body? And don't ask your brain. Your brain will try and give you a story. You're not looking for a story, because we're really good at describing our feelings. We're really good at describing how angry we are, how wrong the other person is, how hurt they were, how malicious it was, how narcissistic they were, how manipulative they were, all the things. We're really good at describing all of that. But to connect with, where am I feeling? Because that vibration of that hurt, because that hurt that we're feeling, or that anger, that feeling that we're feeling, is a vibration. It's a resonance, and it's in our body. And when we can quieten our mind and go inwards and just ask our body to show us where that feeling is, and it might be a twitch that we'll suddenly notice. It might be a heaviness in our throat. It might be a buzzing in the ear or in the temple. It might be a pain in our big toe. It could be a feeling of nausea in our belly. That's what we want to connect with. That's the feeling. And if we can be with that and breathe into it, start to learn to like expand it, because we contract. If there's something that we want to avoid, we contract, we curl up. Like, even look at a little kid, they're in trouble, someone's shouting at them. What do? We make ourselves small, right? It's a survival thing. We all do it, right? We're like, the predator's coming, right? Whatever that is. And we'll make ourselves small. And we do that in our bodies when there's a pain, whether that be physical or emotional, we contract, we hold our breath, we tighten up. But when we can actually come back and to our breath and just let our breath come in, feel it in our body, and then allow our breath to even expand and amplify that feeling. Let it be there. Like, it's okay. This is my anger. This is my shame. This is my guilt. Give it permission to be there. I always say that our feelings are like the three-year-old. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's ever been around a three-year-old, nothing good happens if you ignore a three-year-old. It's the worst thing you could do. If you did, that three-year-old is going, mom, 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 mom. If you don't give them the attention, something destructive is going to happen. That's what happens, our feelings. That's why they build. That's why things get, the grudges, the cynicism, the bitterness, right? It gets, I don't want to say, what's the word, more intense as we age, the longer we hold on to it. So if we can see that as our little three-year-old, that's my little three-year-old part of me that's feeling the shame. Let me just give it some attention, because typically with a three-year-old, if you give that three-year-old even 30 seconds or a minute of attention, because sometimes that's all they want. They just want you to look at their coloring book or look at their jump or look at whatever it is they want to show you. And if we can do that with our feelings and just say, it's okay. This part of me that feels guilty, this part of me that feels shame, I'm just going to breathe into it. I'm just going to allow it to be there. It's going to start to dissipate. And we start to send it love, which is the agent of transformation. Matt Kahn always says, whatever arises, love that. And so if we can love those parts of us and just notice what happens, the physical sensation in the body, whether that be the pain in your big toe, the nausea in your tummy, the tightness in your throat, just expand it with your breath and send love to it. And miracles can happen.
Mm. Really beautiful.
Sounds too good.
Yeah. But as a homeopath, that's basically what we do. And people are so out of touch with where that would be in their body. Like, we're not mm-hmm. taught to go inside and listen. And like when you were saying this, one of the feelings I had once was I couldn't put words to it, but it felt like the screeching of a bird. And I could feel it in my muscles, like a screeching, but I couldn't say where it came from. But as I lean into it, it's like an anger, I can, feel that pain of when I was a child. And then, like what you're saying is, now you're shining the light on it. So now it can dissipate, right? It can
exactly
release, it can go. But before, it stays, because it's in the dark. And
it's in the dark.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, for anybody who's listening, it may take a little practice. This may, you may not get a signal the first, or you may not hear the signal. You may sit down and do this exercise and go, I don't feel anything in my body. You're learning a new language. And think of a skittish, I always think of a skittish little dog, let's say a dog that has been neglected. You have to build trust with that dog, right? And so you might have to bring little treats. You might have to show up every day. You might have to go down to their level and, see that, look them in the eye. It might take a little time, but the dog or that pet, and I'm just using this as a metaphor, I love metaphors, but that trust will build, and that dog will start to trust you. And then it'll start to, eat the food you bring. And then it'll start to maybe eat the food out of your hand. And then it'll start to sniff you. And then it'll start to let you pet it, right? And so this is what will happen with our connection with our body too. Because our body is, this is really our inner child showing us these pain points. And so we have to sometimes take a little time to build a trust. And so the exercise is in asking the question. And if the answer arises, that's wonderful, epic, fantastic. If it doesn't, that's okay too. Because we can still send love to our body. We can still mentally say, I'm just sending love to this part of me that's feeling shame. Even if you don't have a connection where it is in your body, you can just send love to yourself. Love that part of you that feels, and just start to let that build the trust. And then you will notice that those signals start to become stronger and louder in your body.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. It's really, it's mind body, but it's more than that, isn't it?
It really is, because yeah. Mind, body, spirit, you know, and heart, yeah, you know, yeah, really, yeah, is, because, you know, these emotions, this is our heart and our little girl and our little boys inside. Their little hearts have been very guarded. Some of us, like I had a very guarded heart, where I didn't always feel safe feeling my feelings. Mm. And the people pleaser in me was afraid to say something that would be the wrong thing or to disappoint or whatever. It was uncomfortable for me to be uncomfortable. And it's interesting. I've been doing this now for, you know, 10 or 12 years. And it's not that I don't ever feel those things. I just recognize them sooner and I know the tools to move through them. I still don't like to be uncomfortable, but I'm okay with this because I know that it's just a feeling. And a feeling doesn't define us. No. An emotion is just there. It's just an energy in motion. And all I have to do is breathe into it and allow it to move on. I'm feeling uncomfortable. Take a deep breath. Breathe into it. Engage with it. Where is it in my body? Okay, I'm loving that little part of Mary that's feeling insecure and uncomfortable right now. And then I will just go on and do whatever, or say the conversation or do the task or whatever it is that needs to be attended to.
Yeah. So that is the core message right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then as you release things and as your vibration heightens, then you mm-hmm. can really connect to something greater and be a little more connected to soul purpose, right? Like those messages that come, the love that comes, the magic, yeah, really
in life. The magic, yeah, because you start to trust yourself more. You start to trust life more. You start to trust even those moments that aren't going your way, you know, because life sometimes is going to throw you a curveball. You know, my joke is, you know, God, I had all these plans. I had it all worked out and, you know, you're gone rogue again. And, you know, if you'd just done it my way, it would all have been fine. But let's look back and hindsight, and we'll see in hindsight the value of a detour that we took. Mm. And, you know, I said that for my client list every Friday, everybody gets, and on my social media, every Friday there's a positive affirmation, an uplifting affirmation. And this particular week, I was preparing it, and it's all about giving thanks. Because, you know, we're in the season of Thanksgiving, right? The time that we're recording this is Thanksgiving. And so often we're thankful for the things that we want, but how can we start to shift things and start to become thankful for the things that come our way that we didn't ask for, that we didn't want, that we didn't desire? Because when we can start to be thankful for those things, maybe not, you know, maybe not all of it, but is there like one little silver lining that we can find a way to be thankful for? And really start to tune into a sense of gratitude, because when we can start to be grateful, those things that, those curveballs that life throws us, you know, or when God goes rogue, as I like to call it, or they become so much more easy to navigate, because we can let go more easily of the preordained perfect plan that we had created in our own minds and trust that something better will come about.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you hadn't had your meltdown, you wouldn't have noticed the sign that said joy and peace.
Exactly.
And then exactly. You wouldn't have learned how to do this and help others, right? Like the meltdown had to happen.
You know, exactly. And, you know, I can remember my son, when my son got diagnosed with autism, the devastation I felt. And the, you know, was it my fault? What had I eaten? What had I done? Because I was a scientist working in lab. Like, what was I smelling? Like, what was in the lab? What was I contaminated with? And all the guilt and all the shame and all that. And processing a lot of that through the breath work is like, no, he set me on my path of alternative health. And he's doing absolutely amazing. He has such a joy. He has been my greatest teacher. And yes, everything, I wouldn't have planned that. And yet he's a remarkable young man. He's going to university in Ireland. You know, he's, you know, we brought up in California. He is an exceptional young man. And so there is so much good from the challenges that we encounter. And yeah, I would not be here today if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for my meltdown and, you know, when I was turning 40-ish, that phase of my life. And I'm so grateful. I am so, so grateful.
Yeah. Beautiful. And so I think you've really captured what is to remember. Does the breath matter at all? Like a deep breath is important. A belly breath? Is there any map for that?
So, you know, if you're having a hard time taking a deep belly breath, it's because your diaphragm really needs to be strengthened. And it's a muscle. The diaphragm is the major respiratory muscle. I'm going to get a little geeky, a little sciencey. We're going to back down now to like real basics. So the diaphragm is a muscle that runs the top of the abdomen, the bottom of the rib cage, and it's kind of dome shaped. And so when we inhale, it moves down, right? It contracts and moves down. And that's why your belly expands, because all those organs are being moved out of the way. And when that happens, it's oxygen then is being drawn into the bottom lobes of the lungs, which is where the receptors are that trigger the relaxation response in the body. So you definitely want to take that belly breath. But if you're having a hard time doing that because maybe of a lifetime of holding your breath and restricting in that area, and you've kind of clamped that muscle down a little bit, you want to get it, you got to take it to the gym. So the gym is going to be your bed or your couch or your floor. And the best way to exercise it is just to lay on your tummy, lay on either your right cheek or your left cheek. It doesn't matter, but have your belly in contact with a semi-firm surface, and just spend 5 minutes just breathing. Don't worry if they're long, short, through your nose, through your mouth. Just breathe for about 5 minutes. And over time, that's really going to strengthen your diaphragm, and you're going to find yourself having an easier time taking a belly breath. And of course, if you really want some further tips than that, if you want to go a little deeper, connect with me. You'll get my information on the podcast information, and I can walk you through some deeper exercises as well. But that's going to be a real basic get started. And if we can just all for 5 minutes a day, just even 1 minute a day, just to breathe and just notice what happens in my body when I breathe. If, you know, where is their expansion? Where, you know, what's the temperature of my breath like? What does it feel like when it's going out? Just to bring ourselves present with ourselves, give ourselves that moment.
Yeah, because we're so outwardly focused, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so this brings us back to focusing inward, where all the magic is.
Yes. Yes, everything we want, everything is already within us. And we just have to remember that, and we forget because we're watching ads and we're seeing billboards and we're listening to radios and we're listening to songs and we're listening to movies and TV shows and all of that input, right? And so we just forget that we are, and each of us, like I had a beautiful client today, and she's going through a rough time. And I just had to remind her of how beautiful she is inside and outside. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Be our own champions.
Yeah.
And when we can give ourselves, start with even like minimal, like 1 minute. And I hate saying that, but I know some people are listening and like really, really busy. But like, we're worthy of like 30 at least. But even if you can just squeeze in a minute and start there,
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah. And when I'm talking to someone new about it, I tell them, don't even worry about box breathing or anything. I find in for four, out for six valuable because the out for six is more connected to our parasympathetic. So the long, that mm-hmm. breath is longer. So you're connecting to that, but not like mostly just breathe through your nose and in for four, out for six. And
yeah, keep it really simple.
Yeah, very simple. And it's it's amazing.
Yeah. And if you don't like listening to a timer, listen to a song. You know, you don't have to do a timer for 5 minutes and go, oh God, am I done yet? Pick out a song. Mm. 5 minute song and just breathe and listen to your song. And just breathe. Just breathe.
Yeah, especially if it's a favorite song. That would really that would really influence the whole nervous system in a positive
way. Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful way to one of the ways I tell my clients to do it, you know, just breathe. I just want you to sit your butt down and breathe. And I will know at the end of it, it'll come back a week later and I can tell who's done their homework and because I will see the shift in their breath. It can shift very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the whole denimer, right? There's a calmer, more present, more in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So any other tips? And then I want you to share how people can find more of you and what you're teaching.
So my tips, so I'll kind of summarize some of what, you know, we've said already is, you know, if you're not breathing in your belly, which really means that there isn't a big expansion of your belly and inflation of your belly as you breathe, get yourself lying down on a bed, a floor, a couch, and 5 minutes a day, just start breathing. The second tip would be to take a minimum of 1 minute and just breathe and just kind of get centered, be with yourself. The third thing to summarize from earlier was when you feel those charges, those trigger moments, sit down with yourself and just ask your body to show you where do you feel that in your body. And just say, body, just show me and close your eyes, go within, just breathe and see what happens. And I'm trying to think any other tip I can have. So coming off it, I think they're the three things that really I want to leave as my take home, because they're foundational things. And that's where it needs to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can get overwhelming with detail.
Exactly.
I love it. So now how do people find you?
So you can find me on my website, www.thebreathofnewlife.com. And that's spelled exactly like it sounds, The Breath of New Life. I'm on Instagram. That's where I'm most active is Instagram. And my handle there is Breath of New Life. I am on Facebook at The Breath of New Life. And you can also shoot me an email. Mary@thebreathofnewlife.com. So they're the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mary. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure and it was wonderful to be here with you and catch up. And I'm excited for this to reach your listeners and would love to hear what they have to say. And I'm open to any questions that anybody may have.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.